you see other people around you doing the same thing, say, don't feel like you need to say sorry when you've done nothing wrong. It's a simple reminder, but I think it would probably be a bit of positivity for a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree.
That's your next water cooler assignment. There you go.
That's it. Yep. All right, so our next one is probably even another softer, feely one topic, but also great for mental and emotional health.
I love that you found this.
This comes from a Time article. This is hugs reduce conflict feelings. I'm going to try to say that again because that sounded terrible. Hugs reduce conflict feelings. Sorry. So there was dang it. Well, I'm sorry that I said it incorrectly. I'm actually apologizing.
You apologize to me.
I apologize to the listener for saying it incorrectly, okay? Anywho.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys listening each week, and we also appreciate it when you share this podcast with a friend, because as Shannon says, sharing is caring.
True.
You guys can also head to the addictedtofitnesspodcast.com website to check all the show notes out for each episode. It gives you a little bit more details about the topics we talk about. And we have a shop page with our awesome affiliates, Stick Mobility and the Hemp Coffee Exchange. So make sure you guys check those guys out and tell them if you buy their products that you heard about them on the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right in. Let's not waste any time, okay? We are going to jump into our training recap. We had a big week last weekend. Big week, I would say, not just weekend. Ella had a big couple milestones. She had her baptism and then her first birthday. So we did a lot of preparation for that. One thing that we did do was really kind of Shannon, I would say. This is more of your training recap, but you and I both made the decision that we didn't want her to just have a birthday cake or store-bought birthday cake or cupcake.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable that she's going to have cake and sweets and all of that crap that we work so hard to keep out of our house. But for the simple fact that we don't have this kind of stuff around our house, like just lying around, decided that we were going to go a different route because she's had really good quality food her whole life. And we made something from scratch and it looked beautiful. It looked just like every other birthday cake you might think of out there. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it was a vegan zucchini bread with a chocolate sweet potato frosting, and it was delicious.
Yes.
And this is actually a recipe that I made for us like a month ago.
Yeah.
And it was so good that you had some like every day, and that doesn't normally happen. Like when I make baked goods, it's usually mostly me that eats it, and Nick like jumps in a couple times. But I basically like decided at that point, I was like, this tastes as good as like really good cake.
Yep.
So why should we feed her something that's not going to be that great for her when she can have something like this that's good for her and delicious?
Yep.
And she seemed to agree.
Yeah, it was good. We're going to make sure I'll put some pictures of her enjoying it on the show notes so you guys can check it out, too.
She's a little intimidated by it, I think,
at first.
You
stacked it high, for sure.
I did.
Excuse me. But the main thing, I mean, obviously the zucchini bread, awesome, and vegan and gluten-free, all that good stuff. But that frosting, that's something that, like, that's wizardry, in my opinion.
I know, and it's so stupid simple. I feel like I've been robbed during my life that I haven't. It took me this long.
Yes, please let me know what is in it, because it's a laundry list, right?
Oh yeah, it's super long. It's two sweet potatoes, that I cooked and pureed. And then it's a whole candy bar. Not even candy. It's a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
It's the, I think you get the Ghirardelli, yeah, like Midnight Reserve. It's dark chocolate.
86%.
Mm-hmm. 86% chocolate. Dark chocolate. I put the whole bar in. And I melt it, obviously, first. Mm-hmm. And then I put it in with the sweet potato. I put about a teaspoon of vanilla. And then because I like cinnamon in almost everything, I put a little bit of cinnamon in there.
Mm-hmm.
A little sprinkle, a little dusting. And it is freaking mind-blowing.
It's phenomenal.
Like, It's eat it with a spoon, eat it with your fingers. However you can get it into your mouth, you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
It's super filling.
It's a lot of fiber in there. And, like, I did a little look, and I kind of put in the ingredients into our calorie counter, or our Lose It app, actually, to see. And it's only about 8 grams of sugar per half a cup.
Which is a lot. Like, you can't sit down and really eat a half a cup of this stuff one sitting.
So, yeah. And
it's rich.
And it's not to high end. It might be a little bit less, a couple grams less. But I looked at, like, a Pillsbury, like, kind of can jar of frost you can get. Not homemade, just one you can get at the grocery store. And it was 72 grams per half cup.
I'm going to say that you're probably still homemade frosting is usually all sugar.
Yeah. So.
So
yeah. If you guys are looking, which we always encourage, try to cut some sugar out of your diet. I think that's a real easy way to do it because it's still delicious.
Well, I mean, there were definitely some, like, kind of jibes at the party where people were like, oh, of course you got the healthy cake, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, seriously, why not? If it tastes delicious and it's not absolute crap for you, why not?
Yeah.
Like, why shouldn't we all say that we deserve freaking rock star food that tastes delicious and is not going to harm our bodies?
I totally agree.
So to all the haters out there who think that it was crazy, you really don't know what you're missing.
Babe. A wise man once said, hater's going to hate.
Play is going to play.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I think Ella's big year anniversary. I just called her a year anniversary. Her 1 year
it's
birthday.
It's a year anniversary of parenting.
That's true. Yeah. We were reminiscing about it.
We were supposed to do something naughty.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have a drink of champagne. The same champagne bottle that we brought to the delivery room that we never drank, and we still forgot to drink it.
Yep.
That's so crazy we are. It's gonna live on, I guess.
So we followed her birthday up a few days later with her 1 year doctor's appointment. So she got to get a whole bunch of shots, which I know sometimes is a point of contention with people, but we are big believers in vaccines and the importance of it. She also did get the flu shot, which is something we're probably going to be talking about in a podcast coming up because we're getting into flu season. And I know you've researched some articles already about flu and the treatment of flu. And we'll probably get more into maybe some details about this year's flu vaccine. So because it's an important topic to talk about. So because it's somewhat controversial, but
Very controversial still. I mean, people have very strong opinions about it. And we absolutely respect everybody's opinions, but we will also say that in order for our child to continue going to the school that she goes to, she needs these vaccines as well.
Yep.
So we thought very long and hard prior to her even being born that we were those kinds of people.
Yep.
And
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's good because, and they stress because not everybody, that was bad over classification, but a lot of people think you get shot with the flu virus and you get the flu virus. Well, it is a dead virus.
It's not a live virus.
That is it a dead virus. So is it possible you might get sick later? Sure, but it's not because of what they are injecting in you from what I believe or what I understand. So,
yeah.
But yeah, because we want to make sure we got all these vaccines because we're going to be traveling next week. She's going to be on a couple plane trips, so she definitely needs the extra defense. And in association with that or related to that, I'm creating online workouts for my clients to use while we're away. And we're going to be bringing our recording equipment because we're going to be doing some on-the-road podcasts because we'll be doing a little bit of driving, going to meet some family members of yours to introduce them to Ella and some other family members of mine. So
yeah.
That's what we're doing.
First time for a lot of my family.
I know. Oh, it's a big important trip.
Yeah.
And fun, because we maybe get some weather change, you know. We're going to get some weather change. Maybe some
donuts.
There we go. Yep. So, there will be no sweet potato frosting on this. So.
Oh, no. I know when to say enough's enough.
All right. So we're going to jump into a couple topics or a couple articles that are definitely related to health and wellness. But they're kind of a little bit off the beaten path of what we usually talk about on this on ATF. So, but it's good. I like to have these little departures because I think these are definitely health and wellness topics. But they're
more like the mental emotional health.
There you go. Yeah, it's true. Which is all. It's a huge part
of it. We've talked about is very important for the rest of your health, including your physical health.
Absolutely. So, first article we're going to talk about is don't say sorry or stop saying sorry. This was an article found on Well and Good, and a website we like to use a lot for looking for articles like this. And it basically has to, I don't know if it is, would you say called written in first person? The writer of the article kind of expresses her issues with essentially using sorry as almost like a crutch term, you know, using it sorry in situations where she's not trying to apologize.
Yeah. Well, I think we notice this between each other even, that we frequently, and obviously this is both genders, this is not just women, even though I think the article focuses more on women.
Yeah.
But we were saying sorry as like a filler.
Yeah.
It was like, bumped into you, sorry. Or, you know, hell, if you bumped into me, I would still probably say sorry.
Yeah.
And didn't understand something correctly, sorry. Like,
yeah.
To diffuse
the situation, you know.
Yeah, it's so overused. Yeah. And I feel like it was taught as like saying sorry is like a manners thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's probably one of the most overused words.
Yeah, they
in
actually
our language.
No, I agree, and I've done my best to try not to say sorry unless I actually mean it. You know, in the act of being, you know, excuse me, apologizing for something I did, and, you know, did something wrong. They actually speak with a professor of linguistics from Georgetown University, and they talk to ritual apologies about ritual apologies, and that saying "I'm sorry" can be the first part of an expected two-part ritual, one that women expect other women to implicitly understand and complete with a return apology or refusal to assign blame. So, like I said, it almost sometimes it's been used to just diffuse the situation, or even make the other person feel sorry.
Oh yeah,
you try to elicit a sorry with a sorry.
Passive aggressive kind of behavior.
Yes, so
that they say women are really good at.
Right, and they do go on in this article, like Shannon said, is that men often understand "I'm sorry" at face value as an apology or a way to take blame. They view it as putting themselves down, not as smoothing over a social interaction. Interesting.
Yeah.
So obviously that someone who's a professional in linguistics knows more than me, but I can do catch myself every once in a while just saying it to kind of, like I said, just kind of like pacify the situation.
Exactly.
You know, so... They also consulted Marcia Reynolds, who's a communications expert and the author of The Discomfort Zone, How Leaders Turn Difficult Conversations into Breakthroughs. Love that title. And they say that indirect sorries tend to cause more problems than they prevent. The word sorry creates a perception of low self-esteem and status. If you say sorry to me frequently, then it sets up the dynamic that I am more important than you, which often doesn't feel good for either of us.
So, interesting because some some communication information that kind of goes along with that, that same frame of thought is if you ever find yourself in a meeting, especially a business situation where you have people of different rank and level, it is seen as weaker to be nodding your head along with the people speaking.
Mm.
So if you find yourself and you're like a head bobbler through conversations, you're like, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. oh yeah. It's actually like a, it's similar to sorry in the fact that it's kind of like this pacifying gesture to make somebody feel like they're so important and they're so worthy of being listened to that you're just, yeah, right. blindly agreeing or, and it's, I've watched it in rooms of mixed levels of people. It's really interesting. Obviously there's a whole lot more of like nonverbal communication, but it's a similar thing. Like nodding your head just in agreement to things is seen as like a lesser of the powers,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I noticed some of like the really big businessmen, especially, they don't ever nod their head.
Yeah, they kind of wait to show their cards towards the end.
Make a statement at the end, but they keep it very close to the vest. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, yeah, once you start paying attention to, it's just like, sorry. We all have these like very passive kind of behaviors
yep.
that are meant to make us more agreeable and avoid trouble, right. I feel like.
Yeah, they call it here, it's a great term, call it a rhetorical security blanket.
Yeah.
So people use it so willy-nilly to try to either make themselves feel better or make the other person feel better that it's starting to lose meaning.
It does.
And
yeah.
It's like this is probably a leap, but I'll say it anyways. Like the boy who cried, the boy who cried wolf. When you say it so often, then it stops losing its meaning.
Yeah.
So you never know when somebody's actually sorry or not.
Yeah.
And that situation you brought up about the boardroom, they actually talk about it in this article, and they kind of allude to not just the head nodding thing, but also interjecting with sorry. Like mm-hmm. if you have a counterpoint or maybe a better suggestion, don't say, sorry to interrupt, or sorry, but yeah. I have a better thing, because that already puts you down.
Yeah.
People kind of see that.
For like a negotiating kind of mm-hmm. standpoint, it makes you look very, very weak.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a big point to, especially if you're using it as that security blanket almost, you're kind of perpetuating that almost a low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
You can be honest, honest with people, because that's when you get more breakthroughs, and I hate to steal that lady's breakthroughs from, or that word breakthroughs from the woman, the author, but I think you would get a lot more honest dialogue if you stop saying that, if you start trying to pacify a conversation when it might get difficult.
Well, plus it's from a communication standpoint, it's a very confusing word because you don't really, you're not sharing like a true emotion by saying sorry. You're just kind of taking a pass.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of like, maybe somebody was late dropping off a report on your desk
mm-hmm.
and then they come in and they drop it off and you're on the phone and don't have a time to speak with them. Like you might actually say, oh, sorry, can I get back to you later? You've done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. That's what we're really talking about. Like when you actually have done something that would be termed a faux pas or something where you need to admit to blame, then sorry is absolutely the word to use, or I apologize. But the sorry situations we frequently apologize for are not things where we are to blame.
Mm-hmm.
They're just situations where we either don't have the time or we don't have the bravery to really say what we mean.
Yeah.
To say, oh, thank you for dropping this report off. It was late, so I don't have time to talk to you right now.
Right.
I'll get back to you as soon as I can. So, hey, guess what? Like, that's actually the truth. I will say, saying what you mean can still be perceived like different genders, it comes off, I think, slightly different. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like more men probably can get away with it without being termed a bitch, because I definitely feel, I have felt being honest can sometimes make me come off as a bit bitchy, but I don't care.
There you go.
So, I'm not sorry.
Sorry, I'm not sorry.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
That's going to be the title of this episode. Huge. Sorry, I'm not sorry.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
And I think it's poor. I think you're exactly right. You hit it on the head. And I think there's a reason why they kind of alluded about how this may be probably a bigger issue for women, because yeah. they're still kind of battling that. And it's interesting. I want to go on to the next discussion topic, but
I just punched him. No, I'm just kidding.
Pinch. It's interesting. I don't know if we're getting more PC, like people are trying not to offend more in this day and age. Absolutely. So maybe that's why there's such more of a rise in it, because people are trying not to offend.
They're using it as a free pass.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're going to get behind their computers and they're going to let the real madness fly. That's why you have a lot of online angry people.
Yep.
It's true. They are the people that are probably not going to be the ones that say their honest feelings to your face.
That's true. Keyboard tough guys.
Yeah.
Or tough gals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's not a healthy situation. And
it's not good for your job, because you've heard the story about people getting fired for what their online comments are.
Oh my gosh. People should be held accountable to their comments in person and online.
Yeah.
So don't hide behind "I'm sorry," and take a good look at how you and the people around you use "sorry," and let other people, especially like in work environments or home, let them know, like, "I'm not going to try to be mean, but I'm trying to be more upfront and honest," and really not say unnecessary sorries. And I think you should do the same. Mm-hmm. Like, if you see other people around you doing the same thing, say, don't feel like you need to say sorry when you've done nothing wrong. It's a simple reminder, but I think it would probably be a bit of positivity for a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree.
That's your next water cooler assignment. There you go.
That's it. Yep. All right, so our next one is probably even another softer, feely one topic, but also great for mental and emotional health.
I love that you found this.
This comes from a Time article. This is hugs reduce conflict feelings. I'm going to try to say that again because that sounded terrible. Hugs reduce conflict feelings. Sorry. So there was dang it. Well, I'm sorry that I said it incorrectly. I'm actually apologizing.
You apologize to me.
I apologize to the listeners for saying it incorrectly, okay? Anywho, there was a study released recently in which people were... Over 400 adults were interviewed by phone every night for 2 weeks. Each person was asked about their mood, whether they experienced conflict, and if they had received a hug that day, among other questions. Each person also went through a physical exam and filled out questionnaires about their health and social network at the beginning of the study. And the results of the study demonstrated that hugs can have a measurable impact on mood and stress after social conflict. Boom. The gesture seemed to increase positive feelings and reduce negative ones on days when people experience relationship problems. What do you think?
So they're saying hug it out.
Hug it out.
But I was under the impression that like any kind of like human physical contact, though, like that's not menacing or threatening. In and of itself, like it could be a hand on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I thought that also reduces like stress and
I think so, yeah.
Increases positivity. So I don't know if I really believe this, to be honest.
Why is that?
I just I lived a large portion of my life, and I was not what you would call a hugger.
Mm.
And I don't feel like I was any worse off.
Did you have any physical contact?
Well, I mean, yeah. But it wasn't a hug. It was like, you know, a hand on the shoulder or like, you know, I don't know, like a hand on the back or rub or like, you know, like on the back or something like that kind of stuff. But I'm just like picturing like major conflicts and trying to see people hug it out afterwards.
Well, I don't think they're having the hugs with the person they have the conflicts with.
Oh, so it's like more supportive hugging.
Yeah, so it's like their social structure is hugging them, you know.
I will say that really good hug does make you feel pretty good.
And I think, I'm trying to read, I wonder if it's...
Are all hugs created equal? That's my question. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. A very simple, straightforward behavior, hugging, might be an effective way of supporting men, both men and women, who are experiencing conflict in their relationships. Explains co-author Michael Murphy, a postdoctoral researcher in Carnegie Mellon University Laboratory. Interesting. I know there's more info on this topic or on this study in the article. So
there's also a paper that was published that has a lot more details. It says makes people feel like they're cared about. They have someone who's there for them.
Yeah.
Also, and also that they're not judging them.
Mm-hmm. It also suggests that physical touch can prompt beneficial physiological changes such as reductions in stress-related brain and heart activity and release of mood-enhancing hormone oxytocin.
I'm pretty sure that's like an old study. That's like been something that
we've already known.
That we've known for a while.
Right.
Yeah. So specifically a hug.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess on average...
I think it's more personal than a hand on the back or a pat on the shoulder, you know?
Yes. I am a...
I guess, yes.
I'm still to this day a bit of a hesitant hugger in situations that are not, like,
professional.
Super familiar people. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in a professional situation, hopefully you're saving your hugs for me when you get home and for Ella.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, some people are huggers.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, even professionally, like, it's a relationship. They're going to bring you in for a hug. And then there's the awkward ones where you don't know and you kind of do, like, a half hug.
The worst
ones.
Those
are terrible.
I haven't had any half hugs. I do have clients that want to hug me, which is awful, especially after they're done working out and they're all sweaty. But the worst is I can never get the handshake right. I always like to pound it out, like when we're either coming in or going out. I like to pound it, you know, do the pound.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody either wants to grab for the handshake
or they grab your fist.
The devil's handshake and they grab my fist. Talk about touching. Now that's just.
You're like, oh.
That's even
worse.
I think that has the exact opposite effect. They need to do a study on that. They need to do a study on the devil's handshake where you grab the whole fist and then shake it up and down. Because that is so awkward and embarrassing. I'm sorry. Oh, that's God. When I say I'm sorry. That is the perfect situation.
That is,
for saying
that
I'm
is
sorry.
A really good situation. But
full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did we learn today?
That there's a lot of verbal and nonverbal things that you can say.
Yes.
That you either don't mean or that mean a lot.
Yes. If you do something wrong, say I'm sorry, but don't say I'm sorry unless you do something wrong.
Yes. Hashtag then, sorry, not sorry for most things that don't mean you actually have done something wrong.
Or better yet, if you do need to apologize, just give them a hug.
Yeah. If you have an established relationship with this person, keep boundaries in mind, folks.
Yes.
This is also, we don't want to get you down a lane of danger here.
Yes.
Stranger danger. You just can't. You're just like seeing people like arguing, like someone hit their car, and the person, one of the person just tries to come and hug them, and they're like, ah!
Why not? Hey, less road rage. Come on, get out of the car, hug it out. Police are mandating that for now. That scene of accidents, guys. Come on. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. Don't they make like kids do that? Like after they fight? Like,
shake hands or
they
hug.
Make them like hug or shake hands? Oh boy. Yeah.
This was an important episode.
This is a very critical episode. It's important because these are things that we do probably unwittingly, like unknowingly.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even how you distribute your hugs. You know, if you see someone that's feeling poorly, that you are close to, if it feels natural and genuine, I would say a hug could probably do wonders for them.
Yep.
And to just sit there and say, I'm sorry that you feel this way, just give them a hug instead.
Yeah.
Skip the I'm sorry.
Great, great lessons.
Yes.
And if you guys have any other lessons that you want to tell us about,
yeah,
please feel free to share it on our social channels or...
Ooh.
What's that?
Awkward hugs. If you have awkward hug stories,
yes,
please share them because...
And please, somebody tell me that's just, you've had the situation where you've given somebody a fist bump and they grabbed your whole fist. Please, somebody tell me about that. Cause
like on The Office.
I cannot be the only one. It happens almost on a daily basis. It's so embarrassing to me. Anyways, you guys can reach out to us. We got all of our social links on the addictedtofitnesspodcast.com website, along with the show notes, and along with the shop page. And don't forget, please give us that rating review in iTunes and the Apple Podcast app. We're going to be traveling soon, so you guys can get ready for our On the Road podcast. And we got an interview episode coming up next week with a very interesting individual who is an expert in a thing that we've been waiting for an expert to come on the podcast for.
Yes.
We love it. All right, that's a tease for you guys. Got anything else for him?
I got nothing.
This has been another
just
edition.
Hugs.
Hugs.
I have hugs.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Hug it out.
For all things addicted to fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @theATFpodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
Hug it out.
I thought you were going to say, hug it out, bitch.
You want me to do it again?
Yeah.
Hug it out, bitch.